Father, this morning we dedicate to you. We thank you that the word that will go out will not come back void. We believe your word fully. We believe the report of your word completely. We thank everybody under the sound of my voice will be completely transformed this morning by your word. Lord, we want to ask you, speak the word only. Speak the word only. One word will change and catapult everything in our lives. So this morning we open our hearts to receive, Father. We're ready. We're expectant. With expectant hearts, we come before your throne. And we ask you, Lord, start with me. Start with me. Come on, make that your prayer. Lord, start with me. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the word? Praise God. I want to quickly share something with you, and then we're going to get into the word of God. This is all going to form part of what God's wanting to say to the church. Revelation 12 speaks about the accuser that goes before the throne of God daily to accuse the brethren. His only job is to accuse. And the Bible says in Revelation 12, thank goodness that there came a point where he's thrown out of heaven, that will come, and where the accusations will stop. But I want you just to hear me now. If you think about God, when God starts to bless people, he uses people. Okay, I want somebody to help me preach this morning. God says that a good measure, shaken together, pressed down and running over, will man give unto your bosom. So I want you to say with me, if God blesses me, he uses people. I've never seen a guy walking down the street and ask God for a blessing, and here comes gold out of the sky and falls on his head and bang, there he goes. I've never seen that. I've always seen how God moves the heart of people to bless people. So God uses people, but also Satan also uses people. You see, the scripture says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren, day and night. That's the only thing he does. He accuses. And then he'll use people that will bring forth the accusation. Is somebody listening to me in this place? And the reason why Satan attacks you, everything that Satan attacks is for one reason. He's after your character. If he attacks your finances, he's insulting your character. Is somebody listening to me? If he brings sickness on your body, he's attacked physically, he's attacking your character. If there's a problem, friendship and relationship, it's a character that he tries to destroy. Why does Satan do that? Every attack is because of he's after your character. Because the minute the church misses who they are in Christ, that's when we've missed completely the victory. The victory comes once we know who we are in Christ. Come on, I'm here to declare to you this morning, if people turn against you, God turns towards you. If people turns against you, God turns towards you. I want to say this again. If people turns against you, God turns towards you. Amen. So every single day, every single morning, where the accuser goes before God and he accuses the brethren and the saints, let me just tell you something, and I declare this prophetically. This is not where your story ends. Okay, I'm going to preach to somebody that wants to hear me. This is not where your story ends. This is not where your story ends. This is not. I want you to say this to somebody. This is not where your story ends. You can try that again. This is not where your story ends. Many people look at a scene and they base the story on a scene. You can never base a story on one scene. You cannot base where you are now on what God is about to do for you. What you're seeing now, what you'll be going through now is just a scene, but it's not the story. Oh, hallelujah. I said, what you see now is just a scene, but it's not a story. You see, Joseph was thrown in a pit, but that was not the story. That was only a scene. Joseph ended up in Potiphar's house, but that was not the story. That was just the scene. Oh, come on. I need somebody that's excited this morning. You know, if two or more agrees on anything, it shall be done. Anything, come on, it shall be done. The Bible says if two or more agrees on any subject, it shall be done. I need people that will agree with me this morning that this is not where my story ends. I'm just about to start. Come on, God is about to do a U-turn in my life. Amen. This is not where it's finished. And eventually, he went to prison. But even prison wasn't his final story. Even prison was just the scene. You see, I need to speak to somebody to get your mind to the next level. That you will not build your life on what you see now.
I'm thinking about Jesus when he had on a scene about Christ. We had a crown of thorns on his head. And where the people who sacrificed everything to follow him left him. They deserted him. That wasn't the story. It was just the scene. Hallelujah. I need somebody to jump to their feet and say with me, my God, and in actual fact, I want you to tell this to every brokenness and every crack. My God, always have enough clay. Hallelujah. Come on, I want you to tell every brokenness, every crack, every hurt, that my God has more than enough clay. This is not where my story ends. Come on, this is just the seed. This is just the seed. But my God knows the beginning from the end. And he will fulfill his word in my life. If you believe it, come on, give Jesus some crazy praise in this place. Come on, take your seat. Your beginning is not your ending. The way you began is not the way you will end. Come on, I'm going to get somewhere this morning, I promise you. Where you have began is not where you're going to end. God knows your beginning from your end. And what God's work that he started in you, he will fulfill. I want you to shout this with me. God shall fulfill his word in my life. You know, brokenness is just a scene. Abuse is just a scene. Loneliness is just a scene. Come on, that sickness is just a scene. Poverty is just a scene. My God. It's just a scene. Those who has walked out on you, it's just a scene. It's not part of your story. It's not where you will end. It's just a scene. Stop looking at what you're seeing now and think this is the way I determine my future. You are who God says you are. Come on, I said you're not limited by what people think, by what people say. You are that God says you are. You are the apple of his eye. Come on, you are his blueprint. Hallelujah. You belong to El Shaddai, the rock of ages, the king of kings, and the lord of lords. Come on, I want you to say, what I see now is just a scene. This is not where my story ends. Do we have that thing on the screen? This is not where my story ends. Come on, shout it. This is not where my story ends. I want you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 29. That screen is terrible. Surely you have things turned around. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? For shall the clay made, or the potter made, say of him who made it, he did not make me? Or shall the thing formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding? I want you just to pause there for a second. I'm going to read out of my Bible. Trust me. You can trust this one. That screen you can't trust. Isaiah 29:16. I'm going to try that again. Surely you have things turned around. Hear me. Surely you have things turned around. Yeah, I can preach on that all day. Surely you have things turned around. Let me say that again. Surely you have things turned around. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? For shall the thing made say of him who made it, he did not make me? Or shall the thing formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding? The scripture says that we are exactly as clay in a potter's hands. Exactly. I want you to turn to the book of Jeremiah 18, verse 1. Let's go there. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. This is Jeremiah 18, by the way. Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred or destroyed or ruined in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do of you as the potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you my hand, O house of Israel. I want you to pause then, listen to me. The Bible says that God said to Jeremiah, I want you to go down to the potter's house, and there is where you will hear my voice. Please understand, God is never in the specifics. God never tells you, this is what I'm going to do before he's going to do it. Because when you know what God's going to do in the next month, you're going to run away. You will never be able to handle your next year. If I tell you what breakthrough is coming next year, your mind will not be able to comprehend it. Your mind will not be able to fathom it, so you will ruin it. This is why God speaks in glimpses and he gives you glimpses. This is why he said to Abraham, take your son, the one you love, go and sacrifice him. I'm not even going to tell you where. You're just going to follow my leading. And the Bible says, he said to him, when you get to the house of the potter, there I will cause you to hear my words. I will cause you to hear my words when? When you see the pain. When you see the transformation. Where you see the ruins, where you see the wheel, where you see the heat, that's where I will cause you to hear my voice and I will tell you what's next. And the Bible says that when Jeremiah came into the potter's house, he saw him working with something at the wheel. He was spinning a wheel. I'll get to that now. And the Bible says a piece of the clay failed. It was ruined. And the potter didn't take the clay and toss it away. He took it again. The failing piece, the broken piece that fell off, he took it and remolded and reshaped it. And then when he saw the scenery, he heard God say to him that, I am the potter and you are the clay. Out of clay, we designed the pots. But it's the emptiness inside that holds. I'm going to say that again. You'll catch it. With clay, we make pots. Look at this. It's empty. It's the emptiness inside that holds. If I have a pot and it's filled with clay, I can fill nothing. It can hold nothing. It's the emptiness inside that holds. This is why I tell you that God is looking for a people who is broken, who has been ruined, who the world has trampled on, who people say that they will mount up as nothing, they will be nothing. You know, they mock Jesus too. His very own people mocked him. If you don't listen to me, I'm going to mock you, okay, or knock you. So watch it. So his own people mocked him. His own people rejected him. But I like the whole scenery where the Bible says that when you get to the potter's house, I will cause you to hear my words. It's there that I will speak to you and I will reveal very secret things to you. And he said the first thing that he saw that there was clay. As the potter was making it, there was clay that fell to the ground. I always believe that the potential of the pot depends on the clay. I'm going to say this again. The potential of the pot depends on the quality of the clay. Many people think that they can be used mightily of God but never been broken. If you have never been broken, you will be full of yourself. There will be nothing that will flow from you. It's the emptiness, it's the brokenness in you that holds. Oh, hallelujah. When you see a potter working, it's when it comes to the stretching. My brother, I want you to help me just play there on the keyboard. Just softly. I feel the presence of the Lord here. And I tell you now, in the next 5 minutes, you're going to feel a shift. A tremendous shift. This morning, you will know why you had to fight the way you fought. You will know why you cried the way you cried. This morning, you will understand. You'll have a better perspective of why Satan hates you so much. You know, before I'm going to continue saying what I wanted to say, last night I was alone with the Lord. And when I fought, there's so many things on my heart that I want to share with God. Can I be honest? I said, can we be honest with one another? Because that's when the anointing flows. Let me tell you, the anointing flows out of the crushing. You don't want to hear me. You don't want to hear me speak this morning. You want to hear the Holy Spirit in me. Come on, you don't want to hear me, my words as balsam. You want to hear the words of the Holy Spirit that will bring the mending. So last night I was praying before God. I thought, okay, there's so many things on my heart that I want to speak to him about. But it was only tears. It was just tears that were shed. And suddenly there came a scripture into my spirit. And the scripture says that you've counted my tears. You've seen my sorrows and you've counted. You've picked it up in a bottle. You know about my tears. You know about my sorrows. And I've said to the Lord, Lord, why did I have to go through from a very young age? Why did I have to go through what I've been through? Why, Lord? You could have stopped it. You could have turned the fingers around. Why, Lord? Why is it? It's a whole fight. Your whole life is just a fight. Come, I'm speaking to people. You're fighting for survival. You're fighting just to eat. You're fighting just to be approved. Come on, somebody in this house, the Holy Spirit is busy tucking your heart. I said to the Lord, Lord, why? From a young age. And you know what God said to me? And you know why I can say surely that this is God? Because I know Him. I know Him. You know, there's many people in this place today, but the behind the scenes, no man knows, no woman knows. Nobody knows the tears that has been shed. Nobody knows the tears that have been shed. Let me just tell you that a potter can never work without water. You need some water to be able to mold the pot, what you're about to make. And God uses these tears that you cry. He uses to mold you and to reshape you. It's not to humiliate you. It's not to kick you out and to be trampled on. But it's to make you into something glorious that God has designed for you. If you believe it, come on, I want you to give Him a shout of praise in this place. He uses your tears to water your dreams. So I say to the Lord, Lord, why did I have to go through what I've gone through? I'm not going to go into doctrine, but if you think about Paul, the scripture says that an angel, a messenger angel sent from Satan came, and the only thing that he was doing was a thorn in the flesh, day and night. Paul's thorn in the flesh was not sickness. People hide behind that scripture and think, well, it's fine to be sick because Paul was sick. No, it's not. It wasn't sickness. It was a messenger angel sent to chastise Paul every single day of his life. And I believe this with all of my heart. When Satan sends a messenger angel to come and try, his plans are to try to destroy you. Because you know what the Lord spoke to me about when I said, Lord, why did I have to go through what I've been through my whole life? He told me Satan was after your DNA. You were supposed to be dead. But my grace sustains you. In your lowest hours, my mercy has picked you up and restored you to a place where I can use you. You see, if you've never been broken, you cannot say amen now. If you've never been alone, you cannot say amen now. If you've never been emptied, you can never say amen. You don't even understand half of what you have to go through when God starts to say that this pot is not just going to display on the 5-rand rack, but you have been designed to be catered for or to be used by the Queen. When I love this, that when we cry before Him, even with Jesus, when He was in Gethsemane, listen, Jesus had His season in the wilderness. And He had His season in Gethsemane, and every single one of you will have a Gethsemane season. Every single one of you will have to go through a season. And this is the saddest thing, that the potter works in a secluded place. In your most lonely hours, God creates supernatural powers. It's when you're down and out and you're up to nothing and then the whole world seems that you're nothing. That's when God says, I've got a plan. I've got a plan. You see, this is the thing, saints. God never makes or creates anything to destroy it. His plan and purpose is not to make you, and here you are, and then there's just no purpose. See, there's people here with a 5-rand mentality. You have not been designed to sit at the ShopRite shelf. You have been created for high places. You have been created for high things. And you see, this is what I want to ask the church. I want to ask you, how can you help people? How can you say that God can heal the broken unless you have been broken to the core? How can you say that God fills the empty if you've never been emptied? It's the broken pieces that brings forth the character. It's the brokenness. It's the accusations. It's the lies against you that brings out the fire of God in you. Listen, we have not been created in ease. We have been created in the fire. The Bible says that God is the potter and we are the clay. I need somebody that will say, Lord, whatever you want to do with my life, here I am. Mold me, break me, fill me, Lord, just use me. Whatever you want to do, start with me. But let me tell you something. You better watch me right now. This is not where your story ends. I said, this is not where your story ends. This is just a scene that you're going through. But it's not what God has planned. It's not what God has purposed. Come on, somebody. This is not the end. This is the beginning. If you believe that this morning, I want you to jump to your feet. And I want you to just praise Him for 20 seconds. Just praise Him. He's the potter, we are the clay. But it's not where it stops. You may take your seat just now. Dear Lord. Dear Lord. Have you ever come to a place in your life where you have so much on your mind, so much on your heart, and you can't wait to get alone with the Lord just to speak to Him? And this is how you start. Dear Lord. And it's just tears. And you wonder, where is the Master? The teacher is always silent in a test. The teacher is always silent in a test. When the Lord spoke to Jeremiah, He said, go down to the potter's house. I believe that God said to him, I'm about to show you what I'm going to do. I'm about to show you what I can do with things that were supposed to be the outcasts. You know, the very thing that people do this with, God uses. And God uses the broken pieces as a puzzle to others. I'm speaking to those who knows what this means, dear Lord. We all understand this. If you want to live righteously before the Lord, Satan doesn't like that. But I thank God that we have been created out of the fire. Fire is not supposed to kill us. Fire is supposed to bring out purity. Fire is supposed to bring out the true character and the true nature from us. Oh, come on. If you hear me this morning, I want you to hold on and understand that this is not where it's not where it ends. Come on. I want you to shout, this is not where it ends. Come on again. This is not where it ends. You know, what Jeremiah saw, he saw a potter. And he saw clay. I want you to hear me now. The clay is on a spinning wheel. That's the first process. This is a final product. Okay, come next week, I'll show you a... No, I'm joking. In any case, so with the clay, at first the potter will hit and beat the clay until it is being formed into a roundish position. And that stretching, it's the toughest stretch. I'm speaking to people right now. You've been stretched. Lord, this is why, and please hear me. You know, we take risks when everything is smooth. That's when we take risks. Think about this. We don't like to take risks when everything is heavy. Just by the way, can you feel the Spirit of God here? Yeah? It's much different than any other Sunday. Amen. It's glorious. It's holy ground. It's much different. But I like to see God in this way. God takes risks when it's tough, when it's hard. God tells Abraham, I'm going to give you a baby. But I'm not going to do it when you're young. I'm going to do it when you're old. You're past your age. When your wife is far, far from the age of getting children. But that's when I'm going to move. And that's what God is doing. God is always waiting on until 99.9999999999. Come on, if you believe that, wave at me. This is why He waited 4 days of Lazarus. This is why He didn't just show up. Because God allows the stretching. He allows the molding. Why does He allow that? Because ultimately that we can become like Him. That when people look at us, they see Him. This is why Paul says, I bear the marks of Christ. It's easy to say, I bear the marks of Christ if you've never been broken, if you've never been left, if you've never been deserted, if you've never been spoken about, if you've never been lied about. It's easy to say, well, hold on, God is for me. I'm speaking to people who says, dear Lord, so at this wheel, the potter will take water and the clay will be wet. And here's what's happening. Look at me now. So the potter will take the clay in both of his hands, and this is where the shaping comes. As long as this clay fights, pieces are being broken off, and the potter have to start all over again. Most times when the clay doesn't go into submission, there will be holes in it. The minute the potter keeps his hands there and he sees the clay is busy taking shape, that's when his hand starts to ease. Wow, I'm speaking to somebody here. When you've been under God's hand is not always just a blessing. He says he chastises those he loves. That's what the Bible says. He chastises those who he loves. Just quick, lift your hand. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Thank you. Thank you for changing everything now. I give you praise. I give you praise. As always, you're welcome. You're welcome. Now you'll see the shift here. He's here. The King of glory is here. Hallelujah. Now just look at me quickly. So he's shaping and shaping and shaping. And next, he will take something sharp, a sharp object, to bring the engraving. There's nothing pleasurable for the clay. Nothing at all. It's the hardest part. But you know what? The potter knows exactly his plan for the clay. A potter never designed something. The person that designed this knew what he's going to make. He didn't just put it together and say, well, let's see what comes. The more the clay submitted, the better the quality. But Lord, why did you leave me so long? Why did the stretch become so long? It's unbearable. Please hear me. Your faith is not built. In actual fact, I just want to say this. If your faith is not tested, it cannot be trusted. You haven't heard me. If your faith is not tested, your faith cannot be trusted. If your faith is not tested, your faith cannot be trusted. Your faith is not built on the shore. It's built out in deep waters. That's where faith is being built. Amen? And then eventually, after the design is there, the potter will put the clay in an oven. And the heat will be... Now, just hear me. The potter works in seclusion. I'm speaking to people that knows what I'm talking about now. You've been driving in your car. Suddenly you heard the voice of God. Maybe you were in your house. Maybe in your garden, in your swimming pool. Doesn't matter where. But you've heard a voice in you. And God takes you out of your daily routine. And he secludes you. I'm speaking to you now. That's the loneliest time in your life. It's where you feel like this. It's just you. It's just you. That's the seclusion. That's the seclusion. And you know what the potter does? He secludes you, and then he puts up the heat. He turns the heat up, and then he works with the inner man. When the potter puts the clay in the oven, it's unbearable heat. But the potter knows the clay by itself will just be dry and it will crumble. The potter knows the clay needs water. The water will help make the process easier. You don't hear me? The water will make the process easier. It will make the molding more effective. Even the sharp objects that will make the design, your nose, the eyes, the ears, it will make it smoother to make it. And then he knows the pot or the clay and the water without the extreme heat will crumble. The potter knows that when you go through tremendous heat, the pot goes through tremendous heat, that's where the end result comes in. Please note, God doesn't speak to you before the situation strikes. He speaks to you when it happens. Maybe he gives you a warning. He says, listen, this is coming. You don't know exactly how it's going to work, what you're going to do, but you know that you know that you know that you know that when you are at that place, that place where people said it's impossible, that's where God starts to intervene for you.
And this is what the Bible says, we are not even allowed to fight with our maker. You know, let me just quickly share this with you. Something that God spoke to me very clearly about. There's many people, and in actual fact, there's people sitting here right now. You've been looking at yourself in a mirror and have been complaining about how you look. Okay? Is it net ekki? Dan nog mense, daar gaan die dalk mee waar nou. And you know what? The Bible says it's a sin to do that. It's a sin to tell God, the maker, why did you make me like this? It's a sin just to question Him. Do you know what? God created you perfect. The Bible says, David said this, he knew it ever so well. He said, even before I was born, even before I was created, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I am wonderfully and fearfully made. Now, if I was thinking about a potter, he said one day he had a vision in mind of what he wanted to build. He said, and he saw the clay, and he saw nothing. He saw substance. He said, but his mind's eye already saw the final product. That's what God sees when He look at you. You see substance, God says, wow, I can work here. You see brokenness, God says, well, that's what I need. Listen, Vessel du Brein approves this message. If people tell you don't need to be broken for God to use you, don't listen to them. You don't want to listen to people that's full of themselves. Come on, people can't take you where they haven't been. I said, people cannot take you. People see you in glory, but they do not know your story. Is somebody listening to me this morning? Don't listen to people that says you don't need to be broken. God uses broken people. Amen? I said, God uses broken people. Before I'm going to share the story of the pot, it just comes to my spirit again. That when Jeremiah saw the pieces of clay failing, the Bible says it was marred in the potter's hand. And this is what most people don't understand. The potter's touch is not always gentle. The potter's touch is not always gentle. Sometimes I've asked God, I said, Lord, do you even like me? What I'm going through right now, Lord, it seems like everything is against me. Come on, I'm speaking to the right crowd. I'm speaking to people here that has been broken once in a while. You've been emptied, you've been alone, you've been trampled upon. But the Bible says that Jeremiah saw pieces being discarded and not being thrown away, being reused. Every time you have been hurt, every single time you have been hurt, God will use that. Let me just tell you something. You see the markings on the spot? Speaks about a story. Your scars is just your story. And many times, most of the times, almost ever, I hear somebody say never, no, ever, forever. As long as you carry these marks, you've owned it, you've earned it, and it speaks a story. The marks is not how broken you are. It is how broken you were. But thank God He picked me up. Come on, these marks, the marks that I bear. I'm not bearing these marks because Satan destroyed me. I'm bearing these marks to tell the world I have been broken. But I had a potter that understood that even if I go through the fire, that He's got just great things in store for me. He's got great plans. He knows my beginning from my end and everything that He started. Let me even actual fact just say this to you, that even the people that left you, God knew they would leave you. The people that you've gained, God knew that you're going to gain them. Nothing catches God by surprise. We are the only creation that worries. We're also the only creation that pays bills, but in any case. Is somebody listening to me this morning? You had to go through heartbrokenness, loneliness, lack of love, lack of respect. You had to go through that to ultimately make you this. Because I've heard about a spotter that said, he saw this clay and he's, mind's eye, he saw the completion. But his natural eye just saw clay, substance. He said he started molding this clay. He says that was the hardest part, because to get the clay into submission. He says that was the hardest part. To get the clay. Every time that he thinks he's got it balanced. Come on, somebody. Every time he thinks it's balanced, it falls off. And eventually he says, bang, he's got it in position. He says now he's making the grooves, he's making the marks, putting the signature. And he says, wow, you had to add water. Otherwise, it dries up, it breaks. He says the next step was putting it in the oven. And he says that as he put it in the oven, he heard a voice. He said, the voice said, why do you do this to me? I thought you loved me. I thought you cared about me. I thought you were on my side. If the stretching wasn't bad enough, if I were about to drown in this water, my tears, now you put me in a fire. And he said, he heard, help me, get me out of here, get me out of here. And he said, he knew it came out of the oven. It was this spot. He said everything in him wanted to stop that oven. Everything in him wanted to open the door, but he knew that if I open it now, I'm going to stop the whole process. This is the problem, people. Ladies, help me out. You're pregnant for 9 months. If you're pregnant for 6 months, the child is going to have problems. You have to do the whole cycle. And many people want to break the cycle. You are running ahead from God. And God says, just hang on. I'm not finished with you. The cycle is not breaking you. It's making you. If you come out early, you'll be sick. It's not healthy to come out of the cycle earlier. So this potter knew that if I take him out of this, it's going to be ruined. You see, the potter sees what we don't see. I said, the potter sees that what we don't see. And he says, eventually, after tremendous heat, the pot came out. And he said, the pot was beautiful. And he says, so when he spoke to the pot, he said, you were not supposed to be on the cheap rack. I've made you for the Queen of England. You might say this morning, Lord, why did you leave me? Why have you forsaken me? You know, I feel like Jesus saying, my God, why have thou forsaken me? He will go through your desert. He'll go through your Gethsemane. Do I have more time? Do I have 5 more minutes of your time? You'll have to go through that. When Joseph's brothers stripped him of his mantle, they planned to kill him, but God already knew this guy's going to reign. There's nothing that they can do to stop his destiny. I've called him. Come on, Joseph, wave at me. There's nothing that people can do to stop your destiny. There's nothing, no plan of Satan, no plan. I said, no plan of Satan can stop what God has planned for you. If God has called you to do a task, and many of you, listen, everybody that sits here, miskien is jy 'n piering, en die ou lang show is 'n, hy's 'n groter piering, en hallelujah. Maybe it's a klein kopie, and then you're a mug, and you're a cup, and you're a whatever, you're a pot. Everybody goes through the same thing, just the procedure takes a little bit longer. If God is using you, get ready. Get ready to be shaken to your core. Get ready to be shaken to your core. I spoke to a pastor. And I can't say this because I'm praying for him. He said, listen, I've been deserted. I've been left. People have been speaking about me, kicked me out, chased me away. He says, I've reverted to substance abuse. He says, just to ease the pain. This is somebody that knows his word. He numbs his problems and his situation through alcohol and drugs. Instead of understanding that the minute you say, dear Lord, you never shed a tear without Jesus approving that tear. You never shed a tear without Jesus shedding the same tears as you. The Bible says he's alive forever to do one thing, to intercede for us. Many people think that, listen, let me just get this off my chest. Most times when you cry,
the fourth man will be there crying with you. Most times when you go through the fire, the fourth man will be there pulling you right through. He's never left you. Why do you think he will leave you now? When you start off with, dear Lord, you've got his attention. But there's nothing that this world can do that can break you. We have been made for the fire. We have been made for the engravings. We've been made for the scars. The scars doesn't determine who I am. Eventually the scars will sit, but it's just a proven fact. This is where God took me out of. Everything in life is quick. Listen, we're in April already. Your work is 8 years by Christmas. Why is everything happening? Well, Revelation speaks about that. The days we're living in is just quick. But have you noticed? I just think about this now. The pot that takes the clay, the first procedure is he puts it on a spinning wheel. And it spins. And it spins. That's the spinning cycle. You know, there's not enough time to thank God for what you have. Because you just have it and then it's something else because it's just spinning. My God, it was just Sunday. I'm preaching again. Think about what I'm telling you. Next week, I'm going to say the same thing. It's Sunday again. Amen. As a spinning cycle. You do not have enough time to just figure out what you're going through right now because then the next thing comes. When you think you're through the first attack, there's a second and a third and a fourth already. Come on, it's a spinning cycle. Help me out. Wave at me. Come on, clap your lungs and say, word wakker. It's a spinning cycle. And you know what I've learned? And I want to speak this to somebody prophetically. We have learned how to deal with the hard things. But we have not yet learned how to deal with the easy things. What do you mean, Wessel? Well, when trials comes, we take it. We deal with it. But the easy things like sleeping, we can't deal with those things because we're still awake instead of just going to bed, sleeping. Come on, I'm preaching to myself. What is sleep? It's a luxury in my life. In that spinning, it seems like everything is just haywire. God, where are you in all of this? Amen. After the spinning, the molding, the stretching. So I'm speaking to people now. I want to end off of this. I want to speak to people who has been on the spinning cycle. Everything in your life is this. It's a cycle. Wave at me if you in that category right now. Don't lie in church. You can't even lie, okay? Everything is spinning. It's a spinning cycle. So everything is like, if you don't come, you don't come. It's one thing after the other. It's a spinning cycle. After the spinning comes the stretching. The stretching, there's nothing luxurious about the stretching. There's no luxury in the stretching. It's painful. It's painful. You learn some stuff. You have to let go of certain things. It's the process. And then being molded, shaped. Eventually, there's some gravings, there's some scars. It leaves scars. Then the tremendous heat. Tremendous heat. Everything that can come against you will come against you. People will even criticize your praise. Come on. You can never be part of my story if you don't see the glory. And you can never know my glory if you do not know my story. Don't criticize my breakthrough if you do not know my being through. I want to say this again. Never criticize my breakthrough if you do not know my being through. Sometimes you have to go through some stuff to get you to a perfect place where God says, oh, this is my character. Now I can see me. Joseph lost the mantle. He didn't lose the dream. They plotted against him. That didn't stop him. I believe with all of my heart when he was in that pit, P-I-T means prophet in training. When he was in that pit, he had a dream. The dream sustained him. Many people say Joseph had a dream. No, the dream had Joseph. Look at this again. Dear Lord, the tears that you've shed so many times, it's part of the process. Part of the process. God sees this. You see disaster. You see brokenness. The very pieces that fell off was the pieces God wanted to use. Have you noticed Jeremiah 18 says that the clay marred in the hands of the potter? He didn't disregard it. He took it again, molded it into something else. Every time there's hurt and brokenness, God will mold it into healing somebody else. You've been going through what you've been going through so that you can pull out somebody else later. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I'm just going through what I've been going through. Come on, say this. I've been going through what I've been going through so that I can pull you out later. Come on, say that again. I've been going through what I've been going through so that I can pull you out later. Say that again. I've been going through what I've been going through so that I can pull you out later. But this is not where your story ends. This is just a chapter. It's just a scene. It's not where your story ends. Come on, this is the exciting part. It's not where your story ends. Come on, I want you with boldness to tell every crack and every brokenness, my God has enough clay to mend me. Come on, say this. What you possess, what you can't face today, you possess tomorrow. Please say this with me. My God has enough clay to heal every brokenness and every crack. This is, listen to me, this is now where the anointing is flowing. This is now where the anointing becomes balsam to the soul. He's close to the brokenhearted, close to those who's contrite and crushed in spirit. He picks those up, come on, who's lowly of heart, who's broken. Those are the ones who he's using for his glory. For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous, marvelous, marvelous are your works. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret, my God, that's where you are made, in secret. This is why when you can kneel before God, you can stand before any man. God doesn't make you here. You're made in the secret place. In the place of loneliness and brokenness. That's where you are made. That's where the greatest you comes to the forefront. This is why the dear Lord is not always bad. Because that just proves to me that you've been to that place called there. Come on, I need someone that will say with me, Lord, take me to that place. It's where I belong. I long to be with you. Marvelous are your work, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. In the lowest parts, not when you're on top of the mountain, in the lowest of lowest. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts towards me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. And this is the greatest ever. When I'm awake, still with you. Lift your hands with me right now. Every eye to be closed. Lord, your word says that you are the potter and we are the clay. Your word declares that no weapon formed against us will ever prosper. You promise in your word that greater is he that is in us.